1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, Papa, Papa.
You can call me Papa Podcast.
I'm back, baby. Yeah, I've been busy being a dad. Haven't been able to do this for a little bit, and it's been weighing on me. I don't know, so much has changed since we've had this baby that I just have not been able to stay as close as I wanted to the podcast. But today I'm coming back to you, and I'm going to finish what I started. I still have a lot of great conversations that I want to put out, and so we're going to get back on the saddle and finish what we started here. And today I'm going to talk about mental health. I think a large part of everyday life is people's mental health, and if I can help you or somebody or anybody by giving them information about some mental health they didn't know about before, they just, I don't know, struggling with something or just want to improve on something. It's not always a negative to have some help with your mental health. So give this one a listen. It's near and dear to me. It's my friend Isaiah McGee. He's my hypnotherapist. I've been working with him for the last, 6 years or so. And it's just been such a big game changer for me. And there's such a stigma with mental health and people seeing a therapist or people wanting to get help for whatever situations they're in. And I just wanted to, you know, open up the conversation to this and maybe, like I said, give some people help that they could use or benefit from. So check this out, please. Give it a listen. I think you'll find some good nuggets in here. And thanks for sticking around and thanks for checking in. The Papa Podcast will continue. Just being a dad the last couple of weeks, you know? Got to take care of them. So here we go. Today I got a very important man that I have in my life. Help me with some important decisions. Help me with the growth of who I am. Isaiah McGee, how are you, bud?
Hello, 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 hello. I am well now that I see you, Rohit.
Yeah. See, this guy, he brings such positivity, brings such perspective changes for me. And just give you a little context, Isaiah is a hypnotherapist. Is that the right term, Isaiah?
Yes, sir.
Isaiah's a hypnotherapist. Now, I did not know what hypnotherapy was. I moved to California in 2011, and I'm driving down the 5 freeway, and I see this giant billboard, and it's for hypnotherapy. Not yours, but I saw it. Now, the way that I met Isaiah is my wife, at the time girlfriend, had suggested, you know, she wanted to actually help her sister find a therapist. And she goes, hey, maybe we should send her to a hypnotherapist. And I said, I know a hypnotherapist that I see a sign and I want to go explore it myself. It sounds interesting. And I think she did some research and we found you. And instead of sending her sister, we both came down. And that was, in my mind, at least 2012.
Oh, yeah. I'm having total recall now as to how we connected initially.
Right?
Yeah.
So I meet this guy, and I'm like, what the hell is hypnotherapy? And I never had any form of therapy, so you know. You were the first person that I talked to about the crazy thoughts that I have.
Ooh, fresh meat. That's what I saw walking in the door. Fresh
meat. Yeah, right. As the he's got a monocle, he's got a cat on his shoulder, and he's just rubbing his hands feverishly. He's the guy from Inspector Gadget is what he is. He's got the same voice. So the way that I utilize Isaiah is, I'd say a lot of it has to do with goals in my life. It wasn't necessarily something where I was like, I have to unload problems on this guy. I wouldn't feel comfortable having a podcast with you if you were my therapist of my deepest innermost thoughts, where I unloaded just a bunch of negativity on you.
What makes you think you haven't? You may not consider them deep and innermost, but how about
all right, we're gonna stop this right now.
How about what I read into it?
Well, he's a weird, funny guy, and that's why I think we're here today. And he's got credentials.
You can say hello, and I can get some deep stuff out of that.
He's got credentials.
Oh, and by the way, just for the record, are we GP?
Oh, whatever you need. We can say rated R stuff if you need to. Yeah. Okay. No, unfortunately, not that's the way I talk. But, yeah. Sometimes a little something has to come out. So the way I work with Isaiah, I think when I first started was I came here to be an actor, comedian in Los Angeles, and we hit the ground running on goals and aspirations that I had. And God damn, the amount of miracles that I've seen working with him have just been exponential. And I am the kind of person that when I see something that works for me, I love to tell people about it. And I know I've talked to a lot of people in my years in LA, and I've told them to come see you, Isaiah. And I know they have, and I hope they've been, it's been good relationships for everybody on board. And I've only heard positive things.
Man, you've been one of the reasons why I'm still in practice.
We can only benefit from
your wonderful.
Thank you. We can only benefit from sharing positivity, sharing things that help us in life. And that's what I found is one of my callings, that when I really like something and I really found it to be a positivity, I want to share that with you. And I think that's why we're doing this today. I want to kind of bring it to another level. With this podcast, I've been able to reach out to some people and share the story of how we've started a family. And I kind of want to expand things to transformation. Like, how do people's lives transform? Now that I've become a father, I'm less interested in finding out what it is to become a dad, as I'm now learning what it becomes to become a dad, but more so, what does it mean for your life to go from one place to another? And that's where you're right there. You're in that wheelhouse. You help people make those transformations. Mm. So introduce yourself, Isaiah. Tell us where you're from. Tell us how you got into hypnotherapy, and let's start from there.
Certainly, absolutely. Great to connect with you, Rohit, as always. First thing, though, I'd like to say kudos to you for your podcast. I remember when you were mentioning inklings about it, you know, back in the day, and really recognize and appreciate your journey of having an idea, whether it is your transition into the love of your life in terms of vocation, or whether it is the things that augmented and supported it, such as your podcast. Kudos to you for just stepping out there and doing it, man.
Thanks, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, I think you've helped me along the way. We all have stories to tell, and this was my way to kind of help tell my story in a forum that I felt very comfortable in.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. Right? And speaking of stories, hypnotherapy, it's interesting. One of the fond recollections I like to share about that whole thing is my father, rest his soul, when I first mentioned to him, and this was like 15, 17 years ago, that I was shifting my counseling life coaching practice into hypnotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget the words. First words he said was, "Hypno what?" And so, as it is, typically on the coast, you know, the East Coast and the West Coast, there's a little more of a familiarity with it because there tend to be people who are somewhat a little more available. Let's just call it that way to be kind of diplomatic with it. But in the Midwest, not so much.
Yeah.
So, and my family hails back from Detroit, Michigan. Shout out.
Yep.
And so when I mentioned that to him, he said, "Hypno what?" And I can recall for the first 4 or 5 years that I was engaged in this wonderful calling, whenever I would talk to my father, which would have been about maybe twice a month, and he'd say, "So what are you doing now?" And I said, "Hypnotherapist, Pop." And he constantly would say that. And then after a while, I noticed, Rohit, that I stopped hearing that familiar inquiry from him as to, "Well, what are you doing now?"
Mm-hmm.
And so what I finally realized, and I guess this is perhaps the point of why I am so passionate about this calling, is that he stopped asking me that question.
Mm.
And what I realized was that he began to realize that if I was doing something that spoke to me,
mm-hmm.
that whether it was understood or necessarily even appreciated, if you will, by somebody else, that had no bearing on the validity for it for me.
You didn't need his approval.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it was less about needing the approval and more about it wasn't necessary. And let me tell you the difference, if I might.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than needing someone's approval is actually when you're seeking the approval.
Okay.
I wasn't seeking the approval.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was more a thing of I didn't need the validation of the approval.
Mm.
So that's what it was with him, is I didn't need the validation of the approval. And so I was like fine with him not being able to pronounce the name of what it is that I do, you know? but when he stopped asking that question, that's when I realized that he then respected what I was doing, whether mm-hmm. he understood it or appreciated it or not.
Mm.
And I think that's what we all want, is to be seen.
Yeah,
and whatever is genuine and authentic for us. So anyhow,
real quick. So sure. One thing that I really I've heard over the times with Isaiah is this idea of connection. We're all connected around the world, around the globe, and there's this reverberation. And so Isaiah is so passionate and talented about what he wanted to do that your father felt that. In a way, he
Absolutely.
Was able to understand without a verbal actual conversation that, oh, this guy like really wants to do this.
Right, right. He got the sense after there was no defensiveness from me, the constant times he would ask me that question,
right?
He really got the sense that... okay, this is him.
Yeah.
You know, in that sense. And that connection there is really why I do this work. You were just mentioning that idea about us all being connected. And my forte, if you will, Rohit, is to make what can sometimes seem esoteric or sublime, to make it very pragmatic and very practical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I find is that in this work that I do as a hypnotherapist, my basic philosophy is that no matter what it is that we do, that it should serve an intention and a point.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's interesting is about being a hypnotherapist, to be quite honest with you, whatever means that I think any of us can find to connect, you know, you use that word there, to connect. Then I think that that's what makes you an effective expert or a person who is very adept at using a particular modality,
mm-hmm.
because what the modality allows you to do, not so much the modality itself.
Yeah.
So I am willing to share with people what a hypnotherapist is.
Yeah.
We can go into that for a quick brief moment here.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's really what hypnotherapy allows me.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why I've noticed that my practice are people from A to Z, tall and short, all races, all genders, all preferences. I mean, I see the entire gamut. And what that lets me know is that hypnotherapy is serving the actual point. And that is for me to find ways for people to connect, as well as ways for me to connect with people.
Yeah.
And therefore, the modality per se, often people will say, well, it's really the hypnotherapy that is doing it. But the reality is that it's the use of the hypnotherapy for a bigger picture.
Okay.
And that bigger picture is that what is it you want to connect with?
Sure.
What is it you want to connect with in terms of your health? What is it you want to connect with in terms of your purpose? What is it you want to connect with in terms of relating?
Mm-hmm.
And I like to use that term relating in such a broad way, because whether it is an intimate relationship, whether it is a professional relationship, whether it is social relationships, all of those, the primary foundation of them is the capacity to relate.
Mm.
And so that is the reason why I found, when I discovered hypnotherapy, and if I may quickly share with you, about 17 years ago, I just intuitively sought out a hypnotherapist myself,
mm-hmm.
for some issues that I was dealing with.
Okay.
And from the very first time I went to see this person, she's my mentor now, in fact, I knew that this was a game changer from the very first session.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized was that in my former life of doing life coaching and conventional, traditional counseling, if you will, where I wasn't getting was the subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
And quite simply, our conscious mind is that part of our mind that focuses on our day-to-day, moment-by-moment processing.
Yep.
And our subconscious mind registers what we think about our moment-by-moment, day-to-day processing.
Yep.
So that's the way I like to share that very simplistically, if you will, is that our conscious mind focuses on what we're doing moment-by-moment.
Yep.
And our subconscious mind registers what we think about what we're doing moment by moment. And of course, that subconscious registration of what we think about what we're doing, that is what determines our motivation. It determines our inspiration. It determines our outlook on things.
That's our judgment, right?
Exactly. And so in the work as a hypnotherapist, what I find is effective is that I'm able to get to the subconscious mind. And if you're interested, I can share how that occurs.
Yeah.
But you're able to get to the subconscious mind where the associations are. Because it's less about what's going on in your life, and it's more about the associations you have about what's going on in your life. And as those change, then you see that the circumstances and the situations and the dynamics change because your association about what you think about them changes.
Yeah.
And so that's how I find doing this work being so rewarding. But how I got into it was, like I said, that initial session that I had with this hypnotherapist was a game changer for me, because we got to some areas in my subconscious mind that had to do with the associations about what was going on, and less to do with what was going on per se.
Yeah. So you decided back in the day, 17 years ago, that you wanted to try something different from, I guess, would you say traditional therapy, right? So how did you come across hypnotherapy? Were you doing research and you're like, okay, this seems like something that, where you're saying I can explore the subconscious mind, I haven't been able to do that with other forms. Is like, what was your process in delving into that? Because mine was seeing a billboard on the highway, and I was excited about the possibilities.
That's
yours, I'm sure, is a lot more intelligent.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't necessarily say that. However, I will say that it was, for me, very intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not sure what it was. Well, perhaps it had to do with the fact that ever since I was a kid, I've always been interested in how things work.
Mm.
And so even when it came to our mind and how we process things and how we find ourselves stumbling and how we find ourselves repeating habits and patterns, to me, there had to be some kind of how things work about that.
Yeah.
And so in that quest, if you will, I was just intuitively led to research hypnotherapy. It wasn't like I had been enamored with it, per se, or it wasn't like those stage shows that many people hear about and confuse with therapeutic hypnotherapy.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's a difference between stage hypnosis and hypnotherapy, which is the therapeutic use of hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
It uses the same dynamic, but obviously for the results purposes.
Are, yeah.
Exactly. Because one's for entertainment,
sure.
The other is for healing, quite frankly, in whatever area or way that you perceive healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I intuitively found myself researching, and I think I may have come across, in just doing an online search at the time, about a half a dozen people. And I, like many people, when they're searching out a practitioner of any kind, I was calling these people, and I don't even remember at this point what it was about the woman who has now become my mentor. What it was about that initial conversation with her that led me into going into her office.
Yeah.
And literally wrote it from the very first session. It was such a game changer in how I saw myself and how I saw my life. That from when I left her office, I said to myself, oh, this is what's been missing from my work, is not being able to get to the subconscious.
Well, you were hypnotized, Isaiah.
I imagine that's what it was, or either the remnants of it. You know? And so I said, so that's what it was. And so long story short, so I immediately researched getting into school about it 3 years later, and a graduation certification, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And for the last 12, 13 wonderful years, that's
this has
been
become
my
your
practice,
life.
And this is what it is that I do.
This is the transformation that I'm talking about. You went from one scope of life to where you were not feeling fulfilled to now doing something that you're living and breathing and eating every day.
I would say that I was just scratching the surface of what I could do to fulfill myself. I wouldn't say I wasn't fulfilled, but it was a thing of where it just opened up so much more for me in terms of mainlining my fulfillment, if you will. Okay. You know, it's really getting direct with it, if you will. It just unpacks so many things for me. And again, to my original point, what I saw through hypnotherapy is that my interest has always been in how to support people. That's just been the way I've been built, if you will, is, you know, always wanting to support people. And what I found that through this modality called hypnosis, since it deals with your subconscious alignment with how you see life, that when one shifts their association with how they see things, that's what allows the things that they see to then change. Most people do what I call shadow boxing. And that is, they're trying to change the circumstances, sometimes desperately, sometimes very valiantly. They're trying to change the circumstances without changing the context with which they see themselves and the associations that sustain or create the circumstances. And so what I find is that when you shift your vantage point about something, that's what shifts even the very concrete things that are going on in your world and in your life. That's what shifts that, is shifting your vantage point about the associations you have with those things.
What I admire most about our workings together is that, what you just spoke of, the perspective change. I can come in and look at something with one lens, and then you can help me expand that view of what I am thinking about. And it helps make that pivot shift in what I want to do and accelerate the my abilities to get more of what I want. And I think that has been the biggest gift of what I've been doing with you, is the goals that I come in here with that may seem lofty at some points have been attainable and have become real tangible things. And that's why I love to tell people to come see you. I'm like, if you want something in your life and you don't know how to get it, or you need some clarity on it, I know the fucking guy that can help you do that. And that's why I literally tell people, I'm like, this is what you need to do. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter, I think, what flavor it is. And by flavor, I mean like the means of which you want change. You need to enable it yourself. You need to want change in you at some point to say, I want something different for myself. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And speaking of that difference, what I even to this day marvel at is, because this has come up recently in some of my sessions, is that because I'm not interested, and you've probably heard me say this a number of times, and I find myself saying it a number of times in sessions during the course of a week, is that I am not interested in giving you my opinion. But what I am interested in is listening to you. In fact, I consider listening my superpower, if you will. I'm interested in listening to you to see what it is your identity, your soul really wants me to amplify.
Sure.
Because everybody has the answer. And I think that's one of the reasons why people resonate with the work through a conscious life hypnotherapy, the name of my practice. People resonate with that is because of the ideas that I am not judging them as to what I think they should do, even based on learned or experience, but it comes from recognizing that all of us have this internal navigator. It's just that from our conditioning, that internal navigator has been either buried or has been so conditioned that it's hard for us to connect to it. And so I know that my job is to be a supreme listener, so that what your internal navigator is saying, in spite of how seemingly disconnected you may think you are from it, my job, if you will, is to listen to it and hear what it's saying through what you're sharing with me. In fact, I often will say to clients that I'm not just listening to what you say, I'm listening to how you say it too, because a good hypnotherapist knows that since our associations and our subconscious mind, they even inform how we speak and how we communicate. And not in terms of whether you're very verbose in communicating, but the words that you will use typically in communicating also speak to the vantage point of your association about the thing you're communicating about.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes when I'm listening to a client, I am listening to how they're saying what they're saying as well as what they're saying. So you've probably noticed that oftentimes I'm taking copious notes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm definitely intently listening, because that gives me a sense of, okay, what does your authenticity want me to amplify?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the crux of the matter for every session I have, is that what does your authenticity want me to amplify?
Mm.
And it is in being of that kind of service that, because it's very interesting, one of the questions that I often hear from friends and social circles is that, and many therapists, I'm sure, encounter this question, is that, man, how can you listen to people's problems day in and day out and day in and day out? And for me, that's not what I'm listening to.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm listening to is that authenticity in the midst of the problem.
Mm.
And so since that's where I stay aligned and connected with, all I'm ever hearing is your possibility, even if you come in my office door so low that you could walk in without opening the door, because you could walk in under the door. Even if you come in that low, there is still something about you that has not been compromised by what you've been through.
Mm.
And that's the thing that I'm always listening to and listening for, when even someone is really caught up in the lament of whatever the perception is.
Yeah. Did you guys get that? That's some shit right there. That's the magic. That's the stuff that, and I'll say it again, if you are looking to make a transformation, if you're looking to make improvements in your life, you reach a point in your life where you only have so much resources of your own, and asking for help or asking someone to help push you past that, a coach, a mentor, a friend, can help project you through life or into life in ways you never thought you could do on your own. And I think that's what I just keep seeing these results over and over and over again. Isaiah, why are people reluctant to get help or get therapy or ask for these kind of guidances? What is the problem? What is the stigma? What is the why don't people have a hypnotherapist or a therapist or somebody that they can talk to?
For the same reason of people who actually do.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is that the people who are receptive to it, by whatever means they happen to become receptive to it, the reason they're receptive to it is that there is a perception that they want to alter so that it no longer inhibits and hinders them.
Hmm.
And so really the demarcation or the line between those who tend to be quote unquote into that, as opposed to those who aren't, is just really that continuum of perception.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that those who say, oh, you know, therapy isn't for me, or I've tried that or something like that, it's really because there is a perception that immobilizes.
Mm.
And so it's really, again, this gets to that point about I was saying that it's never the outer thing that's going on, it's the inner. And so for people who may not seem receptive or warm to therapy because of past experience or because of the assumptions about it or because of what they've heard about it, all of those things formulate perceptions. And perceptions are what get in the way, not so much our desire, because I don't know anyone on the planet that does not want to live a life of greater ease and grace in a way that feels authentic and genuine for them. I can't think of a person on the planet. Now, people may not be connected to the idea that they want things to be a little easier for them and more fundamental for them to fulfill and to express. They may not be willing to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
But as I said, that genuineness in us all, it wants to express that ease and grace about how they fulfill why they're here on the planet.
Yeah.
And if I may, it's very interesting when I was alluding to the fact that I see the gamut in terms of my client base, if you will. What's very heartening about that is, and this gets to that point about amplifying what my client wants me to bring out and not so much me giving them an opinion, is that people who have a very linear, perhaps scientific, perhaps very pragmatic background, then they find the hypnotherapy through a conscious life hypnotherapy very pragmatic, very straightforward, very neutral in that context, if you will. And then those who come from a more spiritual base, or they come from a more esoteric context, but still this is how they perceive and receive their life through that context, then they find my work to be as such as well. And so that's what really lets me know that I'm doing what I need to do in terms of amplifying what their authenticity says, is because different people tell me that my work has a different context for them. And that really speaks more to the context that they resonate with than it does me imposing a particular philosophy, viewpoint, or something like that. There are some people where I will have a very neutral conversation with, in terms of there isn't any kind of spiritual or psychological, even if that's not what they're into, parlance to my conversation. And then there are other people who have, by their own admission, will tell me that each session with me becomes very healing in that context of it being a spiritual catharsis for them or something of that kind of nature. And again, that just really gets to the fact that all of those kinds of perceptions and ideas and labels, if you will, are just that, perceptions, ideas, and labels. They really have little to do with what is genuinely resonating with you so that you can hear your own voice. And if hearing your own voice is through something that comes from a more linear or scientific or philosophical or any other kind of vantage point, if you will, then so be it. That's how you hear your voice. If you hear your voice through another thing, then you'll see that I meet you there as well.
He's a miracle worker.
What? Those are your words.
Yeah, I did say that. I have said that, and other people will corroborate.
Actually, I'll
claim
that because I think everybody is.
That's fair.
I think everybody
is. If you can connect to somebody on a one-to-one level and have a genuine relationship and share positivity and love, I think that's a miracle right there.
Absolutely.
And it's a beautiful thing when you can do that.
Yeah.
And if you can do it over a larger scope, then that's even more amazing.
Yeah, and interesting, that's what I'm shifting a conscious life hypnotherapy into. You were asking me one of the things that's on the horizon.
Yeah.
Is online courses where you can just download a course that allows you to address a whole gamut of things.
Tell us the first course that you're going to be launching, Isaiah.
Yeah, I'm moving into online courses where you can just, at a click of a finger, just download a 17-minute course. And that's entitled Winners Take Online Courses. And so whatever area of your life that speaks to you wanting to empower it, if you will, you'll find a Winners Take Online course.
Okay.
And so the first course is going to be for actors.
So I'm an actor, and I want to improve my chances of getting more roles. What is the expected benefit for somebody to want to take this? Like, what is going to happen to them? It's not a necessarily one-on-one experience with you where we're getting this feedback back and forth, but talk to me and talk to everyone else about what you're expecting those results to be.
That's a good question. The results is a very pragmatic and practical way to realize you are the thing you're striving for. You are the thing you're striving for.
Not wanting to be.
Exactly. And so what you will find, the courses have a subconscious and subjective shift, so that you are, rather than buying the conditioning about what it means to be in the entertainment field, you're letting go of the conditioning. And just to the point I was making earlier about why I use hypnotherapy, and it's not the hypnosis itself that is the power, it is the means of what that modality hypnosis is for. And if you're an actor, if you're a cinematographer, if you're a writer, if you are a content maker, there's a reason why you're feeling compelled to use those particular mediums and modalities. And so what the courses will allow you to empower is to come out of the conditioning of what you think it takes to make it in the industry and to come back in alignment with why it is you want to make it in the industry beyond wanting to succeed and wanting to be a success. There is a reason, you know, it's interesting that that term that is commonly referred to as a calling. And the reason that that term is used is because a calling means that there is a reason why you want to express and fulfill this certain thing, and hence it being called a calling as opposed to idly a pursuit. Because you can pursue all kinds of things, but they're not necessarily callings. And anything that you see as a calling is something that says, this is what I want to contribute to the landscape of humanity. Whether that's through comedy, whether that's through drama, whether that's through a mixture, whether that's through podcasting, whether that's through whatever it happens to be, it is, this is how I desire to connect with humanity. And I think that when we all remember wherever our journey is and whatever we want to fulfill in that journey, if we can always reset, and you know that's a familiar word you've heard me
use. Let's hit the reset.
Yeah, absolutely. We can always reset as to remembering why we're doing what we're doing and less about what it is we're trying to do. When you remember why you're doing what you're doing, then that is going to refine the what. When you remember the how, man, that refines the what. And what, in fact, I have found in my own practice in this work that I do is that whenever I do, because, you know, I practice what I preach. And so I'm always constantly hitting the reset with myself. And what that means, hitting the reset, it just simply means to bring your perception and, yeah, your perception back in alignment with what is compelling you to do what you're doing. And when the more you stay enamored with what is compelling you to do what you're doing, the more it has its own unique creative way of working the kinks out.
Your why.
Your why, absolutely. Why you're doing what you're doing. If you're doing it for ulterior reasons because you're just trying to prove that you can do this, if you're doing it just because you want the bright lights and the shiny baubles of it, those kinds of things aren't a compelling reason that's going to sustain you through the journey, if you will. But if you're doing it because this is your way of connecting, this is your way of, in the particular case of those who are in the entertainment industry, revealing the human condition. That, as far as I'm concerned, and I don't use this word with any kind of rhetorical baggage around it, that to me is what makes your calling sacred. So, and this is very interesting. I found myself recently telling a client that, and I always preface this because oftentimes in session, I'm very candid because I'm very honest. And so I will, as I asked you before we started our session here, I said, is this going to be a PG kind of interview thing? You said, man, you can go to the R place with it. And then I saw you go there. So I'm like, all right. And here's the thing, man. I may use profanity even in my sessions, but I'm never profane.
That's true.
And there's a difference. You know, somebody can be someone who, for whatever reason, never says a curse word in their life, but their behavior, their resentment, their bitterness, that's profane. And so to me, that's the difference, man. You know, I will use profanity when it serves to just illustrate a point, if you will. But that has nothing to do with being profane. Profane is a way of being. Profanity is just words.
It's what your intention.
It's what the intention is. Yeah, exactly.
How important is it for everyone to find their authentic version of themselves and then give that back to the world?
You know, it's interesting. That question, because they're both one and the same. How important it is to find it and to give it out to the world, quite frankly, without or at the risk of sounding esoteric, your authenticity is the only thing about you that's real and true anyhow.
The reason I ask that is there's so many people that don't have that ability. They coast through life. They're inundated. They don't have access. They don't have opportunity. But look, I'm a guy that was able to connect with my authenticity, and it's brought me on this journey that has been, I was that person that was coasting through life. I was doing things because I didn't know of opportunity. I decided to eject myself from what I was doing, and tangentially, I found many amazing things as a result of it. But there's people that live that rat race, and how the hell do we get them out of it?
It's interesting. When one awakens, and again, that term doesn't have to be loaded with baggage.
Yeah.
Because awakening can simply be you wake up one morning and you say, man, I remember when I used to draw comic strips at 13. That's what I want to do, even though I'm on this corporate track right here. And that can be an awakening for somebody. Mm-hmm. So awakening doesn't have to be necessarily perceived of as an esoteric profundity or something of that sort. So when one person awakens, such as you did and such as I have and such as what I dedicate conscious life hypnotherapy practice to, what that does is that it gives people, whether it seems subliminally or subconsciously or even overtly, it gives other people license to do them too.
Yeah.
And so to answer that question, how do people awaken out of their own stupor, if you will, is the idea of when they recognize someone else who is awakening to their passion, awakening to their authenticity and the means by wanting to deliver that, that has its own tendency of inspiring others. And the reason that it will inspire others is because at a very fundamental, practical level, Rohit, and again, I like to keep things that can be labeled, and labels, as far as I'm concerned, are laziness. No judgment there, just a matter of fact. But when you realize that everything that you are awakened to in terms of what is genuine for you, what is authentic for you, is that everybody on the planet thinks.
Mm.
Okay? Give me a moment here. Everybody on the planet thinks. And so when people say that we're all one, you know, and that kind of thing, that usually falls into, unfortunately, the rhetorical baggage of belief systems and airy-fairy and la-di-da and head up in the clouds and your feet aren't on the ground, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, again, all of those kind of labels are people being too lazy to unpack something, quite frankly. And so when I say that everybody thinks, the very fact that you're thinking right now, I'm thinking right now, the listeners are thinking right now, that there is an ant crawling in the corner that is thinking right now, mm-hmm. because the only thing that motivates us, you know, whether you're a gnat or you're a human being, mm-hmm. is a thinking process. Mm-hmm. And so that is what's meant by that we're all one thing, because mm-hmm. we're all sharing this thinking mechanism, if you will. Yeah. So if you can look at it that way, then you can come out of all of these, the religious or spiritual or philosophical or esoteric rhetorics and that kind of thing, mm-hmm. just boil it down to, okay, everything on the planet is thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that's alive and sentient is
mm-hmm.
thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that means that's where our commonality and our connection is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we think, that's what gets into all the rabbit holes, if you will. But if you can have the confidence and the courage of your confidence to step back, way back to the fact that, okay, everything's thinking.
Yeah.
Then that's where your commonality is.
Mm.
And then that's how we can also find ourselves, as you saying to your initial question there, when you awaken, it's because that thinking mechanism in you is being awakened, if you will, mm-hmm. at a more genuine level.
Mm.
And so then what it does is that since you're already connected to the other person's that's thinking, then that means that your awakening to your thinkingness, if you will, is by definition what empowers someone else to awaken to their own thinkingness, if you will, on a very fundamental, genuine level of the very fact that you're thinking.
Yeah.
Now, I like to keep this, if I may, just give me a moment here. I like to keep this very simple when I say just your thinking, because that seems too simple.
Mm.
And the reason that I like to keep it that simple is because the ego, and the ego is just that conditioning in us, it can't get traction when something is real simple.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, oftentimes in sessions, when someone goes through all of the machinations of what's been going on and why it's been going on and who it's been going on with and who it's been impacting,
mm-hmm.
I oftentimes, with no discounting what they're saying at all, I will often respond with, do you mind if I make it simple? And why I will preface my response with, do you mind if I make it simple, is because simplicity is your power, man. Because the ego can get traction when things are convoluted and complicated, because then it can insert the yeah buts. Your ego can always do the yeah buts when things have a degree of complicated hierarchy to them, if you will. However, when things stay simple, roll it, then that means your ego doesn't get traction on it. And so the simple thing in this whole thing about we're all one, if you will, is the fact that, okay, everybody is thinking. That's where the commonality starts, you know, and that's before race, before color, before gender, before preference, before age, before any of that kind of stuff. All of those demarcations, quote unquote, have a thinking that's going on. Somebody's thinking. And that's how I keep it simple, stupid, man, if you will, in terms of knowing that we're all connected. And that becomes the point of origin in knowing that I can connect with anybody that walks in my office door is because their thinking brought them in. Or even their thinking is what is the is informing their resistance. But that thinking still is common to everybody.
Okay. All you thinkers out here, let's do something. Let's make some good changes for yourselves. So you're starting with actors with the video series. Who else or what else are you targeting so that we can get a wide range of other benefits for people?
You know, it's interesting. As I have been thinking about this venture into the online courses, and I'm still just as focused, Rowett, I don't want to make any mistake, particularly for our wonderful listeners. Hypnotherapy is still the primary engine, if you will, of a conscious life hypnotherapy. However, the other areas I'll be going into is just things that impact living, such as confidence, such as security, such as relating. And again, I use that broad term relating rather than saying relationships, because that's what gets into the latter stages when the core essence of connecting with another human being is your capacity to relate. And I'm telling you, man, whether it's a cohabitation, a marriage, partnerships of any sort, is when you get back to what enables you to relate as opposed to turning it into a ship of some kind, whether it's an intimate relationship, a partnership, if you will. If you let go of the ship part of it and get back into the fundamental of what enables you as a human being to relate, then that's when you start to let go of all the conditioning. There you go. That interferes with relating, if you will. When you get back to the primary fundamental essence is that everybody can relate because everybody thinks.
All right.
Oh, so the classes.
So
like I said, there'll be classes on confidence, however you want to apply that. There'll be classes on or courses on self-security. There'll be courses on aligning with what is natural about abundance in the terms of money and in terms of increasing it and those kinds of things. A lot of the things that we commonly find ourselves striving for or quote unquote searching for, but they will all be approached from a place of a very fundamental, what is your association with that thing you're perceiving, as opposed to chasing the thing while you're still saddled with the same association about it.
Okay.
That's where the big difference will be in all of the online courses. Is that how do we shift your association with that thing? And it's less about what it is you're trying to do with that thing or in that thing. And that's unfortunately where many people spin their wheels, is that they're trying to change the thing while they still have the same association about it.
So we're talking about a paradigm shift.
A paradigm shift, man, in your association with whatever that area or thing is in your life that's relevant to
These perspective changes will make huge impacts on individuals and groups of people. It really will. It's transformational is what it is.
Absolutely. And the reason for that is it's because what I call it the shortcut to healing.
Okay.
Because when you shift your vantage point about something,
then all bets are off. That is like a domino effect. When you shift your vantage point about something, it has a tendency to shift everything that is related to that one major thing, if you will. And in fact, you've probably heard me say this before, but I often do say it in session, is that we're not going to, when I'm in session with somebody, I say, we're not going to play whack-a-mole, where it's like, oh, we got this little issue, and we got this nuance about the issue, and then we've got this thing. Because what I have found in the 13 or so years of doing this wonderful work, Rowett, is that things usually boil down to three, maybe four primary nucleuses, if you will, about the nature of them.
Okay.
But what happens is that the consequences of them are what we get caught up in. Yeah. So that's when we think we have to play whack-a-mole. And well, there's this aspect of the issue, and there's this aspect of the issue, and there's this aspect of the issue. And really, it can boil down to one, two, maybe three things about the dynamic. And then once that is reconciled, then you notice all the ancillary things about it tend to fall into place as well.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, I call it the shortcut to healing in terms of the work I do through this practice.
That's real life stuff. So how do we find these online courses? Where do we go?
Best to come to my website, aconsciouslifenow.com, aconsciouslifenow.com. And best to get in touch with me via the hypnotherapy portal, and then you will be added to the mail list, and you'll be getting notices about the courses and when they're going to be launching.
I ain't bullshitting. I'm not doing this to help him, per se. I'm not like, hey, you got a thing, and I want to help you plug it. I'm doing this because no one asked me to do this, Isaiah. Like, I connect with people. I like hearing stories of people. Like, I genuinely care that my fucking life changed because I met you, and I want to share that with other people. And I tell you that every time I meet you. I'm like, these times and moments that I have with you are amazing. They're leading me to something that is going to be the next natural step for me, and I can't wait for those steps to happen. And I just want as many people, of course, and I just want as many people to jump on board with that, whatever version it is for them and their lives and their stories, to have that same effect.
Excuse me, if I may.
Yeah.
It's interesting in what you're saying right now in terms of what made it motivates you to do what you're doing in terms of the podcast. If I can share this with your wonderful listeners. I can remember when I just quietly and directly said, hey, Rowett, I'd like to do your show.
Yeah.
And I remember this kind of look of surprise on your face.
Yeah.
And you were telling me how the nature had been of some of the shows that you've already done. And however, I could sense that you were heartened and touched by the idea that I was interested in doing the show. And the reason that I was compelled to want to ask you that is that I see you.
Yeah.
Man, I see you.
Mm.
And so what you do has high regard for me. It's not about where it is at this juncture, where it's going at this juncture. It's a reflection of seeing you.
Mm.
And that's what interested me, man,
is
because I see you and I want to be engaged and involved in what I see.
That's what's up. That's love right there.
Absolutely, man.
So real quick, we're going to wrap things up soon, but what I want to know is, okay, there's an online version of Isaiah. There's also the physical. You can come see him. You can talk to him on a phone. You can
Skype
him. You can see him around the world on a computer. He has access. Now, if I'm going to be somebody that's coming into your door for the first visit, can you give us a mental prep or an idea of what to expect and how you like to start a process with somebody if they're willing to take this jump and make these changes? Like, what are you trying to get from them for the first session so that you can identify those first three or four things that will be the shortcut to success?
Absolutely. Wonderful question. The intake session, which is typically 90 minutes with any client that comes to see me. And by the way, the reason that I refer to my people that I connect with as clients and not patients, as is typically a counselor or a counseling mode, they call them patients, is that from the very fundamental beginning of connecting with you, I already see that there is more, not even more, that there is what's right about you and that what you are perceiving of is wrong about you is part of the, dare I use this word, hypnotism that you've already been lulled into. Any of the things that you see that are wrong about your experience, your expression, your journey, if you will, those are the things that have simply caught your attention. And what's right about you is what's authentic.
Mm.
And so therefore I call the wonderful people that I work with clients as opposed to patients, because patients denotes that there's something wrong with you. And
yeah.
I know fundamentally that is not true, nor is that the case. What was your question?
It was when I want to come see you for the first time.
And so in the first session, the intake, essentially what I will ask you to do is to write on an online sheet of paper. And a hypnotherapist prefers that, but it doesn't have to be. It can be a lined sheet of paper. But an unlined sheet of paper, what it does is that, as I said, there are so many things that contribute to our subconscious identity and things that we're associating with that we think are our identity. And even the way that you write, not legibly or whatever, but just the ways that you write also give a hypnotherapist an idea of what kind of dynamics are going on with you. So I ask you to write on a one line, on an online sheet of paper, what it is you want to address. And I ask you, and I say that you can use more than, or you can write down more than one thing if you have an agenda that you want to address. And so from that very sheet that you bring in, that gives me a sense of what it is you want to focus on, what it is you want to either empower, or what it is you want to release. Because both of those, empowering something or releasing something, will serve your well-being.
Sure.
And so from that sheet that you bring in, we have our session, that initial session. I'm getting a sense of what your subconscious mind is relating to, quite frankly. And then we'll shift into the second half of a session, will be what's called a hypnosis treatment. And by the way, people go in and out of hypnosis every day, for those who are not familiar with the process and have some kind of anxiety or trepidation about it. If you drive, chances are you go in and out of hypnosis even while you're driving. So in other words, it's not a state of where you're disconnected to reality or
you
lose control or anything like that. Because obviously, if you can go into hypnosis while you're driving, that's one of the things that we really are being attentive to is the act of driving. And all hypnosis simply means is that your conscious mind, it checks out temporarily, and the subconscious mind becomes very receptive, what's called a heightened state of receptivity. That's what the state of hypnosis is a heightened state of receptivity in your subconscious mind.
That mainlining we were talking about.
Exactly. Now, in that heightened state, those associations that sabotage, or those associations that you like to strengthen, when you're in that hypnotic state, you're able to access those and strengthen or either neutralize, depending on what the thing is being addressed. You're either able to strengthen or neutralize those things that when you're in that heightened receptivity, you're able to access. Now, when you're not in that heightened receptivity, in other words, when you're not in that state of hypnosis, then your conscious mind is ruling the roost, if you will.
Sure.
And so therefore, your subconscious mind is not as receptive to changing some of those associations. But anytime you're in that hypnotic state, in fact, a very classic example is that, have you ever noticed, if you're watching a television program, that the commercial always comes in really much louder?
Yeah, sure.
And that's because the advertisers know that you've been already lulled into a hypnotic state by watching that program. And so when they start to speak up loud, what they're doing is that they're taking advantage of that receptivity in your subconscious mind and telling you to buy this soap.
Yes.
And so again, therapeutically, I use the same principle that when you're lulled into that hypnotic state, and often that happens when you come into the office and just the normal process of your mind being very wrapped with attention because it hasn't done this before, meaning coming in to see me, that creates that state of hypnosis in the conscious mind. And so by the time the second half of our session where you're in the hypnotic state, you're very conscious. In fact, you may have your conscious mind having an editorial about, well, am I doing this right? What's going on here? Is this taking? None of that gets in the way of the effectiveness of a first session, if you will, or any subsequent session, because I'm talking to the subconscious in our awareness. And fortunately for all of us, our subconscious mind it always stays very present and in the now. It is our conscious mind that tarries with the past or ruminates about the future, but our subconscious mind, by its very nature, stays very present. And that's what a hypnotherapist is talking to, is your subconscious mind. So it's always present. So it doesn't matter. In fact, just quickly, one of the favorite things to illustrate this point that I share with people is that 3 years ago, I had a client come to me wanting to quit smoking. And she'd be in her hypnosis session with me, thinking about what she's going to cook for dinner. But yet she'd come back the following week and she says, oh, I just smoked half a pack this week as opposed to three packs when I came in to see you. Yeah. And then the following week, because it was just 3 weeks that she needed to have sessions, she was smoking even less, even though while she's in hypnosis, she might be thinking about what she's cooking for dinner. So my point is that your conscious mind need not be present, if you will, while the hypnosis is being effectively absorbed, because your subconscious mind, by its very nature, is always very present. And so, and that's something that a hypnotherapist is aware of. And so they're not dismayed or moved by the fact that even when you come out of hypnosis, somebody can say, well, I didn't feel much, but yet, you know, to the that following night, they have the best sleep they've ever had in their life.
Right.
Even though they left the session saying, well, I didn't feel much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they have the best sleep they've ever had in their life. That's because their subconscious mind felt it, if you will.
Okay.
So that's how a first session will work. And then I tend to set up a program, if you will, for how many sessions for the immediate things that you're wanting to address.
Yep.
And we're able to kind of cognize that to a degree in that first session.
Okay. All right. Real quick. Is Isaiah McGee accessible from all around the world?
Yes.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
Can Isaiah help you with most of your problems?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that question. Do I have a moment?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Because people ask oftentimes, one of their first questions is, well, what can you use hypnotherapy for? What can you use therapy and hypnosis for? And what I would tell people, and it has nothing whatsoever to do with trying to be a catch-all for any issue that's going on with someone for my practice's sake, if you will. But the truth is that there's not one thing that you experience in life that you don't filter into your subconscious mind. So what that would mean is that anything under the sun and over it, quite frankly, you can use to improve with therapeutic hypnosis because everything that you ever experience goes through your subconscious mind. And that is the realm, if you will, of hypnotherapy and its effectiveness is adjusting whatever association you've made to something. So it could be childhood issues. It could be habits that you want to release. It could be connecting with your, give me a moment here.
Let me pause real quick. Okay, Isaiah, to finish this up, what is, like, if I want to come to see Isaiah McGee, why am I coming to see you? What are some benefits?
You will find that from that first session that you just feel a tremendous sense of relief. And the reason that occurs is because it's one thing to take vacations, because vacations largely relieve the conscious mind, your day-to-day processing, because you take a break from your day-to-day processing. But vacations don't necessarily allow you to relieve your subconscious associations about the things that burden you in the first place.
Yeah.
And so what you will find from a first session is that your subconscious mind gets an opportunity, perhaps for the first time in your life, to unload. And that's the reason people find that from their first session, they typically experience just this feeling of tremendous relief because of the fact that the subconscious mind really has an opportunity to unload. And what you will find is that from any structure that's set up based on what it is that you want to work on and what you want to focus on, that whatever is set up in terms of us approaching the subconscious mind, that it provides more and more relief from the association you have that either sabotages or promotes and sustains the fear about that thing. And so essentially people find that they feel this tremendous sense of relief.
So if I'm going to come to see you, do I need to have a certain problem to see you? Do I need to have like a thing, or what is your approach?
That's an interesting question too, Rohit. Oftentimes when clients come to see me, and this is usually perhaps after, because ideally they usually come in with some issue or another that they do want to reconcile. But what will happen is that because clients realize the benefit of the work, if you will, is that oftentimes they'll come for a session and they'll say, well, you know, I really don't have anything to talk about today. And usually, bar none, those become the best sessions because then that means whatever your subconscious mind is wanting to let go of, you don't already have a conscious agenda about
it.
So that means, So that means that you really hit to the heart of something when you come in, quote unquote, without an agenda. Now, that's not to say that you should not have agendas if you have them, but I'm just saying that oftentimes a client, after I've seen them a number of times or so, will come in and say, you know, I really don't know what I want to talk about today. It's just that we already had a session. scheduled, and I smile because those are usually the most transforming sessions for them because the agendalessness, if you will, of their intention for that session is out of the way, and what really wants to be reconciled and released is addressed.
Damn. Isaiah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I want to point everybody to check out Isaiah. Go to A Conscious Life now. And find your way to connect with them. You can get them on the phone. You can get them face-to-face. You can get them on Skype. You can get this guy to help you for all things. He's a fucking great guy.
Yes, sir. One last thing?
Yeah.
Speaking of what you're just saying right now.
About the great guy part?
Well, just before that part, but I concur. I have this wonderful, and she may be listening because I don't underestimate the reach of your reach, Rohit. She's in the UK.
Okay.
And she discovered me maybe 3 years ago through looking for her own hypnotherapist by whatever means. And she discovered a video that had me on it. And here was the thing that she said, man, and this is the crux of, and this is good to wind down, I imagine, the crux of what I do. She says that she was looking for a hypnotherapist, but she says whenever she would look at my first video, and she says, this guy isn't talking about hypnosis. Then she looked at my second video. He's still not talking about hypnosis.
Yeah.
However, she was very caught in what I was talking about because it was about reconciliation. It was about the restoration of your authenticity. And hypnosis was just the side point, if you will.
Sure.
As I said originally, is that the reason that I love doing this work and why I'm so effective at it is because hypnosis is not the thing. It's a means to the thing. It's a means to an end. Anyhow, this wonderful client that I've been working with now for the last 3 years, and the reason that people continue to work with me is that they often will have this become their touchstone for their continual realignment, and as they continue to see things grow and expand in their life. So they don't come to see me out of addiction. They come to being addicted to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They come to see me because it's working.
Sure.
And so this is the case with my wonderful particular UK client that I'm referring to here. And Matt, every Friday like clockwork, she calls and has a session. I've never even laid eyes on this one.
Oh, wow.
Because even in this, because we connect via Skype.
Yeah.
Shout out to DR. We connect via Skype, and even on Skype, she has an image and not her photo or picture.
Okay.
So I have no idea what this woman even looks like, but yet I know her because of, as I said in part of what we've been exploring today, the connection is there.
And it's really, it's authenticity.
The authenticity, exactly.
Isaiah McGee, thank you so much for your time and
it's been my joy.
Your mentorship, your guidance, and I can't wait to continue to do great things with you.
All right, man. I'm looking forward to it myself.
Thank you, sir.
You're absolutely welcome, sir.
Thanks for everyone that listened today. Hopefully you find great value, and hopefully you check in with Isaiah as well, aconsciouslifenow.com. I'm not just telling you to do it because it's some gimmick. It's some real good stuff, and I hope that you could find some benefit, and I'd love to hear how Isaiah helps you out if you take that journey. Thanks, guys.